had a tale of two feasts. There was the banquet that wisdom had prepared, and then there was the banquet that folly had prepared. And in the middle of this, we saw a choice that you needed to take. Wisdom is the only choice. If you do not have a relationship with Jesus Christ, you are not wise, because in Him all wisdom exists. And so in verses 1 through 6, we see the banquet that wisdom had prepared in communion with wisdom, and she had prepared a house. We talked about Christ preparing a place for us. One day He's going to come back and take us home to that. It's a banquet prepared, done everything necessary. Folks, that's what God does for us. He has done everything necessary for us for having eternal life, and then for us to live the victorious Christian life. All we have to do is accept it and come to His banqueting table. There's a call conveyed and sent out her maidens. And folks, we are God's emissaries. We are His witnesses. We are the ministers of reconciliation. We need to go out and invite people to Christ. It's a call for all. For those that are simple-minded and those that are wise-minded. And it's the necessities to heed the call. You need to do it. Because if you reject it, eventually you will run out of chances. And then we talked about the parallel to this one, to the banquet, the parable of the banquet that Jesus Christ had talked about. How He compelled, you know, He went out to the servants and the servants didn't come, and He compelled more to come. And there was the lame and the poor and everything else, and there was still room, and they compelled everybody in the highways and byways to come to the banquet. That's God's invitation. That's Christ's invitation. He doesn't want anyone to perish, but that all should come to repentance. So see, we see wisdom's banquet. Then in verses 9 or 7 through 12, we see the choices to consider. And tonight we're going to see the contrast between wisdom and foolishness. There's a choice to speak wisely to all those who will listen. You know, the Bible says after the first and second admonition, reject. So we're supposed to share the gospel to everybody. Not everybody's going to receive it. And we need to be wise in how to speak. And if people are just putting up the hand and saying no, then maybe you need to stop and wait for another opportunity. We need to speak wisely to those who know their own limitations. We need to seek the wisdom of God. And then to be wise in verse 12, the Bible says this. It says, let him be wise to himself. Okay? I can't get you wisdom. I can tell you wisdom, but you have to accept it for yourself. And so that's what we... That's what we need to do. So there's choices to consider. And then the chapter closes with communing with a counterfeit. The non-wise, the foolish one, the harlot. And in verse 13, we see that there's false wisdom there. There's false honor. There's a false calling. And it looks good. It feels good. But there's no truth in it. And so what we need to do is we need to understand the spirit of truth and the spirit of error and follow the spirit of truth. And then there's faith promises that are believed by the simple. Folks, we need discernment, especially in these days now, because there's so much information, true and false, out there that it's hard to tell the difference. It really is. And it's belied by the prospect. She says that stolen waters are sweet and bread eaten in secret is great. No, it's not. It leads to hell. And that's what verse 18 says. Beware of the consequence. So chapter 10 is a fairly long chapter. And as we go and we transition, we ended this with 1 John 4:1. It says, beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false spirits are gone out into the world. And we can see that today. So tonight, as we go through chapter 10, the title of this message tonight is, do you want to be wise or foolish? Do you want to be wise or foolish? And the answer is, well, you are who you want to be. You can choose to be wise. You can choose to be foolish. And chapter 10 gives a contrast of these two choices. And the contrast kind of leads us to figure out which one we are. Tonight, if you don't have God's wisdom, seek it. Turn away from foolishness and turn to Him. So in verse 1, your choice determines your legacy. It says, the Proverbs of Solomon, a wise man, a wise son, maketh a glad father, but a foolish son, the heaviness of his mother. And so the issue here is, you have a choice, and your choices determine your destiny. And your destiny determines your legacy. If you are wise, then you make your father proud. That applies in a spiritual sense. We are God's children. We have a heavenly father. If we are acting wisely, we make our heavenly father proud. But if we act foolishly, we're an embarrassment. We're an embarrassment. And why did the two take care of? Because the father carried on the legacy of through the son. The son carries on the legacy of the father, but the mother spends more time with the son. And so the issue here is that I know you moms that maybe have wayward children. It's a burden. It's a struggle. It's a weight. It's a weight. And folks, whether or not you're wise or foolish determines your destiny, and the direction and the path that you're on kind of tells you what choice you've made. So the first verse talks about whether or not wise or foolish, that your choice determines your legacy. Secondly, it's demonstrated in our diligence, or demonstrated in the diligence of the choice. In verses 2 through 5, it says, treasures of wickedness profit nothing, but righteousness delivereth from death. The Lord will not suffer the soul of the righteous to famish, but he casteth away the substance of the wicked. He becometh poor that dealeth with a slack or a lazy hand. But the hand of the diligent, what? Maketh rich. He that gathers in summer is a wise son, but he that sleepeth in harvest is a son that causeth shame. So we see again a choice to be wise or to be foolish. And this demonstration of your diligence is in the treasures we work for. What are you diligent about? Are you diligent about spiritual things? Or are you diligent about worldly things? Are you diligent about wise things? Or are you diligent about foolish things? Something that has no meaning. Matthew chapter 12, verse 35, it says, a good man out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth what? Good things. And an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. You can't be evil and bring forth good.
Right.
Evil brings forth evil, and good brings forth good. Period. It is a path that you are on. And so, what kind of treasures are you working for? It's demonstrated in the effort we exert for those treasures. Matthew chapter 6, verses 20 through 21 says, but lay up. Lay up is a concept of you keep on building. It's like making a savings account. You keep on making deposits into the bank. You keep on making deposits into this. And so your effort, Christ is telling the crowd, he says this, he's telling us, but lay up for what? Yourselves. Last chapter, be wise for yourself. Treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. Because if you're out there getting worldly things, worldly people want your stuff. Okay? If you're out there getting spiritual things, God's grace is big enough for everybody. It says, for where your treasure is, there where your heart be also, and where your heart is, there is where your effort is. So I ask you this question tonight. Where do you spend most of your effort? Do you spend most of your effort for yourself, or do you spend most of your effort for God? It reveals where our treasure is. It reveals, it's demonstrated by what we're being diligent at. What we need to understand is that true treasures are hid in Christ. In Colossians chapter 2, verse 3, it says, in whom, okay, the previous verse talks about all these things in the Father and in Jesus Christ. And then it says, in whom are hid what? There's that word. How many of it? All of it. Everything's in Christ. He is the God of all grace. He's the God of all power. He's the God of all eternity. He is the God of all treasures. And when we talk about treasures, we talk about something that we value. Okay? Something that's worthwhile and valuable. Treasures of what? Wisdom and knowledge. See, true treasures are hid in Christ. You know, Christ gave a parable of the pearl of great price. And when the guy goes out in the field, he finds a pearl of great price. He sells everything he has to go buy that field. Doesn't that sound like with all you're getting, get understanding? And with everything, get wisdom? It's the same thing here. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 10, it says, but God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. I think today, folks, that the problem in the church is superficial Christians. We act like we're wise, but inside we're foolish. Our effort belies our standing. We're more interested in getting stuff than glorifying Him. And so we really need to, as a church, we need to search out true wisdom. It's deep. You have to dig for it. And when you dig for it, you find more than you ever thought possible. So the choice we make determines our legacy. The choice we made is demonstrated in what we are diligent about, what we spend the effort for. And you can be wise, or you can be foolish. Thirdly, it's demonstrated in our direction of our life. In verses 6 through 10, it says here, it says, blessings are upon the head of the just, but violence covereth the mouth of the wicked. And what we're going to see here is we're going to see this type. On one side you have this, and on the other side you have that. Says, the memory of the just is blessed, but the name of the wicked shall rot. Now that doesn't sound very good. The wise in heart will receive commandments, but a prating fool shall fail. Prating means to be full of words. We know a lot of people today that are just full of words. We would like to say they're full of what? Hot air. Okay? Verse 9. He that walketh uprightly walketh surely, but he that perverteth his ways shall be known. The Bible says, be sure you're what? Sin will find you out, for whatsoever you sow, you will also reap. Verse 10, he that winketh with the eye causeth sorrow. We've seen this before. This is, you're saying something and you really don't mean it. And to tell the person that's hearing it, wink, wink, wink. You know what I really mean here, okay? It says, he that winketh with the eye causes sorrow, but a prating fool shall fall. So we see prating here twice, okay? So look at this. What direction are you on? Are you on the direction of blessings? In order to do that, you need to be what? Just. Or, if you're not going down the just path, violence is going to cover your mouth. Those are pretty obvious choices the one that you really want, right? I would really want to be blessed. I don't want violence in my life. I want people to remember me as being a good person. I don't want my memory to rot. That's bad. Which one would you want? Oh, yeah, I'll take the rotten all the time. Okay? I'll take the rotten all the time. If you're wise in heart, you'll get more instruction. You'll get more understanding. And when someone tells you truth, you'll receive it. But we see this going on a lot today. You tell truth people and they don't even believe it. They say it's a lie. But a prating fool, someone that's just full of hot air, someone just says words and they change their argument based on the day and based on the crowd that they talk to. Nah, it never happens. Yeah, it does. Shall what? Fall. You know why? Because there's nothing to stand on. So that's the third choice. If you want to walk uprightly, you'll walk on a sure path. If you walk uprightly, you won't trip. You won't fall. You won't deviate off the side. You won't fall off the side of the cliff. You'll be on the narrow path. And in order to go to Christ, you have to be on the narrow path. But he that perverteth his way shall be known. And then he that winketh the eye causeth sorrow. And then, but a prating fool, again, same word, shall fall. You look at your life and you see which side of the fence you're on. You look at your life and you see what kind of legacy you're building up right now. You look at your life and ask yourself, what is truly important to me? Because this is real, where wisdom will be seen. In Colossians chapter 4, verse 5, it says, walk in wisdom toward them that are without. Not only do you need to judge yourself on this, but your testimony speaks, your actions speak louder than your words do. And there's a lot of people will say the right things, but do the wrong things. It says, walk in wisdom toward them that are without, what? Redeeming the time. Because a fool wastes time. A wise person uses time wisely. So it's determined by your diligence. It's declared by your direction. Fourthly, it's demonstrated in our practices. In verses 11 through 13, you know, James in chapter 3 talks about speech and keeping control of your tongue. Okay. Christ even talked and preached about that. But in Proverbs 11, verses chapter 10, verses 11 through 13, it says, the mouth of a righteous man is a well of life. And violence covereth the mouth of the wicked. We see the exact same thing again. You know, the thing that people long for in the desert is a what? A well. You know why? Because there's life-sustaining water there. Folks, what we need is we need to be a well of life. Our words should bring life to people, not death. Not death. And what does a well? A well attracts people. A well, people want to draw water out of that. Verse 12, hatred stirreth up strifes, but love covereth all sins. How do you react to situations? How do you react to people doing things to you? Do you do it out of hatred? You hold a grudge? All that's going to do is it's going to start bitterness and strife and all those things, and it divides a church. It divides any organization. But love covereth all sins. James says this again. It says, in the lips of him that hath understanding Wisdom is found. Because you know something? You'll speak what you know. And if you know truth, you should speak truth. And if you know wisdom, you should speak wisdom. Because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. So not only does our path that people can see kind of tells what choice we made, whether or not it's been wise or foolish, the words that we say and how we say it also reveal where our heart is. And it says, in the lips of him that hath understanding, wisdom is found. But a rod is for the back of him that is what? Void of understanding. So in this verse here, it kind of gives you two absolutes. It says, hey, you're either full of wisdom or you have zero. Because void means to have none at all. So, how is your speech? What choices do you make in your speech? Does how you talk and what you talk about and what you words you choose, do they show wisdom or do they show foolishness? Secondly, how is your attitude? In verses 14 through 15, it says, wise men lay up knowledge. The exact same thing about treasure. Okay? Builds up on it. Diligent to do it. Wise men lay up knowledge, but the mouth of the foolish is what? Near destruction. The rich man's wealth is his strong city. The destruction of the poor is their poverty. And this is talking about people that are poor because they choose to be poor. Okay? You choose to be wise. You choose to be foolish. I guarantee you, if you need to work to eat, okay? You can't beg all through your life. And so, what is your attitude in your work practices? What is your attitude in your speech practices? Lastly, what is your general attitude in your life? In verses 16 through 21, the first one says, the labor of the righteous does what? Tendeth to life. The fruit of the wicked to sin. Christ said himself, by their fruits ye shall know them. He is in the way of life that keepeth instruction. But he that refuseth reproof errs. He that hideth hatred with lying lips, and he that uttereth a slander is a fool. You can't say that. I'm not saying it. God's saying it. It's for you to deal with it. So the issue is, are you laboring righteously? That shows that you have life. Okay? If you're doing the other way, it's going to reveal what? Sin. And when sin it is finished, it bringeth forth death. If you're in the way of life, you'll do what God says. You'll listen to the still small voice. You'll let the Holy Spirit lead you. You'll go the right path. You'll seek God's direction. But if you don't care about that stuff, you're wrong. And then, if you try to cover what you do wrong up, it just gets worse, doesn't it? Remember, probably if you were a kid and you got caught and you lied about it, and then pretty soon your story changed and you got caught. Okay? Doesn't work. It doesn't work. Verses 19 through 21. In the multitude of words, there wanteth not sin. That's that prating fool thing. People who are just full of hot air and just want to speak for speaking. There's no good in that. says, but the he that refraineth his lips is wise. My mom said, you know, it's better to keep your mouth shut and be thought of a fool than open your mouth and prove it you are. Okay? Proverbs even says that even a fool, when he keeps, he refrains his lips, is considered wise. So here's the thing. It says, he that refraineth his lips is wise. You know, sometimes it's just better to not say anything. Have you ever been in that quagmire where you say something and it comes out the wrong way, and then you say something else to try to patch it up, and all you do is just keeps on getting messed, more and more mess, and just keep on digging a deeper hole? The tongue of the just is as what? Choice silver. Not just the run-of-the-mill silver, but the best stuff that's on the market. The heart of the wicked is little worth. There's no value in it. The lips of the righteous feed many. Okay? So we've already seen that the lips of the righteous is like a what? A well of life. And now it says that they feed many. It says, but fools die for what? Want or lack of wisdom. So it's in your speech. It's in your attitude. It's in your lifestyle. And that is your practice. And how you live your life and how you practice, or how you, your testimony reveals what kind of person you are. So that's number four. Number five, it's just demonstrated in results. There are results to the wise and there are results to the foolish. There are consequences for each. Don't think that there's no consequences for your actions. There's always a consequence. There's always a result. In verses 22 through 20, it says, the blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich, and he addeth no sorrow with it. And it is sport to a fool to do mischief. He thinks it's the right thing to do all the time. And it's always time to do wrong. We have a cat. And we have this black cat. And all this cat wants to do is chase hair ties. And that's all she wants. It doesn't matter if it's in the middle of the night, or you're at a supper table, or whatever the case may be. He just comes up and goes, rawr, rawr. It might bring the hair tie down there, and you throw it, and it brings it back. And does that? The issue is, all she's concerned about is that hair tie. There are people that are just bent on doing wrong. Reprove them, and then stay away from them. Because evil communications corrupt good manners. And if someone thinks, remember chapter 1? Hey, cast your lot in with us. Let's go out and do all these things. Let's spill blood. Let's do all these things. Let's get riches and stuff like that. It's a sport. It's a game to them. But a man of understanding hath wisdom. The fear of the wicked, it shall come upon him. You know, Christ said, you know, don't fear someone who can take away your stuff on earth, but fear him that can cast both your body and soul into what? Hell. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And if you don't have the fear of the Lord, then you are wicked, and you have the fear of the wicked, and this is what you have to look forward to. It says, the fear of the wicked, it shall come upon him, but the desire, look at this one, the desire of the righteous shall be what? Granted. Commit thy way unto him, and he will what? Bring it past. Delight thyself in the Lord. All those things that we hear about, and he's going to give you the desires of your heart. As a whirlwind passeth, a tornado, okay, so is the wicked no more. But the righteous is an everlasting foundation. The wise man built his house upon the rock. The wise man built his house upon the rock. And the rains came down, the floods came up, and the house on the rock stood firm. The foolish man built his house upon the what? Sand. There was no foundation to it, and it went flat. As the whirlwind passeth, so the wicked no more. Now, anybody ever drink vinegar? It hurts your teeth. Okay? Because it's acidic. As vinegar to the teeth puts your teeth on edge. And as smoke to the eyes, it hurts and burns. So is a sluggard to them that send him. Wow. So the issue is what is the result? The wicked has no result, has no eternity. There's no reward. There's no good. Everything is left and it's gone and it's destroyed and it's an irritant. But the blessing maketh rich, gives you wisdom, grants your desire, is a foundation that's firm to the end. So we see it's demonstrated in your results. You can't do evil and have an evil attitude and evil speech and get good results. There's no good legacy to it. There's no good attitude to it. There's no good speech to it. There's no good. You can't do it. It's impossible. A lot of people try, and everyone that tries fail. You know why? Because it's a lie. It's a lie. Lastly, our choice to be wise or foolish is demonstrated in our outlook. What prism do we view the world through? How do we view things? In verses 27 to 32, it says, the fear of the Lord. Now, the fear of the wicked, what does the wicked fear? His destruction. Because he knows he's doing wrong. Deep inside, he knows he needs something else, but he's unwilling to get it. The fear of the Lord prolongeth days, but the years of the wicked shall be shortened. The hope of the righteous shall be gladness, but the expectation or the desires or the goals of the wicked shall perish. The way of the Lord is strength to the upright, but destruction shall be to the workers of iniquity. The Bible says he will by no means clear the guilty. The righteous shall never be what? Removed. But the wicked shall not inhabit the earth. The mouth of the just bringeth forth wisdom, but the forward tongue shall be cut out. The lips of the righteous know what is acceptable, but the mouth of the wicked speaketh forwardness. You know, sometimes there are passages in the Bible that are so clear, you don't need to expound on them. It's pretty obvious here. If you're righteous, you do the first thing. If you're wicked, you do the second thing. If you do the first thing, you'll get the first result. You'll get good results. If you get the second one, it won't. Prolonged days, gladness, strength, not be removed, wisdom, and to know what's acceptable to God. But be not conformed to this world, but be ye what? Transformed by the renewing of your mind. So you can prove that what is it what? Good and perfect and acceptable will of God. Folks, everything we do Our legacy needs to be acceptable to God. Our diligence needs to be acceptable to God. Our direction needs to be acceptable to God. Our results should be acceptable to God. Our outlook should be acceptable to God. What we practice should be acceptable to God. That's being wise. So tonight, as I close, Ecclesiastes 8:1 asks this question. It says, who is as the wise man? And who knoweth the interpretation of a thing? A man's wisdom maketh his face to shine, and the boldness of his face shall be changed. See, you tonight know in your heart which way you're going. God knows anyway. The issue is, are you going to get on God's page or keep on trying to do your own thing? You can be wise or you can be foolish. The choice is yours. Let's stand. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you for this time. Lord, I just ask you this time of invitation. Father, help us to be wise. Father, if there's things in our lives that are not pleasing, not acceptable to you, that may be foolish, Lord, help us, Lord, to give those to you tonight. Father, take those away and wash us and cleanse us, Lord, and make us new in your sight. Father, help us to be acceptable. Help us to be your servants, Lord, and redeem the time. Father, I pray if there's someone who does not know you as Savior, Lord, tonight I pray that this will be the time that they would realize that they need a Savior and they need eternal life. Lord, help us tonight through this time of invitation. We give it to you. We ask that your Holy Spirit have full reign tonight. We ask these things in your Son's name. Amen.
Jesus is tenderly calling you home.